is living now.
There we go. All right. Well, we're so glad you're here today, and we're going to take time just to discuss some more things. I know last week I told you I was concluding my messages in the series All In, but I didn't tell you you wouldn't get a bonus. The bonus message today, Pastor Tom and I are going to come in and add some more, one more stamp of thing. We believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through this series. Now, let me tell you, next week we're going to come together, and we're going to be taking the Lord's table. We'll be taking communion together. I have a special message I want to share next week, and we're going to take the Lord's table together as a church body. Then the following week, we'll be kicking off a new series. I'll tell you more about that next week. But today, you know, someone asked me, he said, why are you been doing a lot more collaboration in your teaching recently, Pastor? Why is that? You know, I spent some time talking to a fellow professor, not a fellow because I'm not a professor, obviously, but someone who has a doctorate in learning from Harvard this past week. And I was sharing with this lady, and we were talking about how people learn best. And she was sharing, you know, when we lecture style of teaching is probably the most, the hardest way for people to grow and to learn, because you only remember certain things unless you're taking notes. And then, of course, you go back over your notes, and if you study those notes, you're going to retain more. One of the highest forms of retention is when we see people who actually discuss the message. When the teacher is teaching, there's room for discussion to happen around that teaching. People learn better. They increase by 30% their ability to obtain and learn in that setting. That's why the life groups that are kicking off tonight are so important, because we come together, we hear a message on Sunday morning, then we come together and not only have time of a fellowship and some snacks and food, but also a time of discussing the message that day. You know, and people just simply ask the question, you know, what did you get out of the message today? And as we reaffirm that, what the Holy Spirit's speaking to your life and what you're hearing through the message and other people talking about the message, it helps you to grow in your relationship with God, not only that, but also hear, retain, and grow in that knowledge of what's being taught. It's a higher form. And that kicks off tonight, right? Correct? Yes.
Life groups start tonight. I know you guys are all excited about that, right?
Yeah.
Woo. Yes. Woohoo! First and third Sunday from now until about Christmas, we'll be meeting on the first and third Sunday. We start at 6 o'clock, and probably you guys have seen either on Facebook or back here at the back in the Welcome Center, even whenever you come in, they're handing out little flyers that has some pictures of people and those life groups that are going to be meeting, and we're kicking those off tonight, and we've got a spot for every one of you. That's the good news, right? So everybody's invited. We want to see all of you at 6 o'clock.
Right. You know, as Pastor Tom is speaking, I mentioned this in the first service. I'm going to mention it again today. I don't want to be kept in a box. At Destiny, I want to make sure that we are flexible. We're flexible. And all of our leadership, I try to teach them, we're flexible leaders. We learn to be flexible, change. We hold on to our values, but yet we're flexible in how we do things. And I don't want to be put in a box. I want to come together and have times of teaching like this. Sometimes it's going to be a panel discussion. Sometimes it's going to be, a lot of times it's going to be me obviously teaching by myself, but a lot of times I want to bring other people in with me so we can discuss, and so that you can be a part of this conversation and feel like you are as we're talking about advancing in these areas. Now, one of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to us in this series, and what the Holy Spirit put in your life, is really discovering your purpose.
Yes.
Really discovering your purpose about being all in.
Yes. I tell you, it's funny, Pastor Gene, because whenever God is trying to talk to you guys, I don't know if you guys are like me, but if he's trying to tell you something, it's like he's going to tell you that more than one time, right? You don't just get a one-time little snippet and that's it. But God is going to bring up this theme, and he's just going to keep talking to you about it and keep bringing it to your attention. And one thing that God has been bringing to my attention, and I'm just going to tell you guys right now, man, if you were not in our Connect group this last Wednesday night, the last two or three weeks that we've met, you guys are missing out. Because I tell you, God is telling me the same thing in those groups. And I'm telling you, it is important for you as a believer, as part of the body of Christ, to know who you are, but not only know who you are, but know why you were created. What is the purpose that God has chosen you? What is the purpose that God has redeemed you for? And how do you fit into the body of Christ? And I tell you, whenever you get that revelation, whenever you begin to understand, oh, that's what God wants me to do, there is freedom in that. There is liberty in that. And the good thing about that is you begin to operate in those giftings that God has put in your life and not trying to operate in the gifting that is in somebody else's life. Does that make sense to you guys? Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever done that? Have you tried to operate in somebody else's giftings and it's a flop? It just doesn't work out. You try to be somebody that you're not, or you try to operate in a spiritual gifting. It's like a physical gifting. If you try to do something that you haven't been trained for, or somebody has not imparted that wisdom and that knowledge and that ability to, you're not very good at it, and you don't do a very good job, and that can leave you frustrated because you're not doing something that you're good at, and you're actually not doing what you were called to do. And so that is what God has been telling me here lately. And in the last couple of years, I mean, I finally started to listen. Okay, so I'm not called to be Pastor Gene, and that's okay. Neither are you. That's good. That's great. That's good news, because that's liberating. What I have to do is figure out, okay, God, what did you call me to do? What are you asking me to do, and how do you want me to do it? And whenever I come into that, when I grip that, when I hang on to that, then I'm most effective in the kingdom of God. It's exciting.
Right. You know, you talked about earlier about, you know, realizing your designated purpose. You know, we want purpose, but we see purpose as, like you were saying, a person on the pulpit or this other pastor, and we try to fit our life to duplicate them, and we miss out on our own God-given purpose. You gave the illustration about the hammer and the pliers earlier.
Yes.
That was great.
I tell you, and that's cool, because you know when God created, and he tells us in Scripture that in the body of Christ we're not all eyes, right? Some of us are eyes, and some of us are a nose, some of us are a foot. And the cool thing about it is God created all these different tools, or he created all these different parts of the body of which you are. If you're part of the body of Christ, then you are a part of that. And God created you with specific purpose. So let's say I'm a tool maker, which I'm not, but if I was, and let's say I made this hammer, and I made this hammer that was skilled, it was balanced correctly, and it had claws on it, and it was designed specifically for a task, to drive nails, right? And so I can drive those nails with it, and I can also turn it around and use the backside of it and pull a nail if I have a mistake or if I need to get rid of that nail. And I tell you what, I can also, if I want, I can take a pair of pliers. I have a pair of pliers that have been misused like this, and I've used that pair of pliers to drive a nail. Have any of you guys done that? I know some of you women have, trying to hang pictures. You get out your high-heeled shoe, and you try to drive a nail into the wall. I tell you, whenever you use the tool that was built for the job, it works better. It works best. And the thing about that, let's say I was the master tool builder, and I'm making all these different tools, and I make a hammer. That hammer had no saying in what it was created to do. All it has to do is do what it was created to do. In a lot of the Bible, in a lot of the New Testament, Paul writes these scriptures, and we see that he was an apostle because of God's calling on his life. He didn't choose it, and he just tells us that right up front. When he's writing these letters, he says, hey, this is Paul. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by his calling. It's not of my own doing. And so I don't get to choose if I'm a hammer. I don't get to choose if I'm an eye. I don't get to choose if I'm a hand. I was created to do something, and whatever I was created to do, that's what I need to be doing. Does that make sense? Yes?
Right. It goes back to the principle when God told Moses. He said, Moses, you know, he said, God, what am I going to use, you know, to help deliver your people? You're calling me to this destiny. And he's like, what am I going to use? He's like, look what's in your hand. What's in your hand? Your staff, you know. And I believe so many times, this is where we miss it. You know, we're waiting for God to give us some great thing to use for him instead of learning to develop what God has given us right now. With Moses, he used his staff. With David, you know, David never would have got to be the warrior he was, never became the king he was, if he hadn't first learned to develop the slingshot that God had given him in the backside of the desert. Listen to me now. I'm going to get ready to preach to you a little bit here. It's the principle of the talents. He said he gave one. Remember, he gave one master, gave one a talent, one, you know, two talents, one five, and the one with five doubled it, the one with two doubled it, but the one with one, what did he do? He hid it, and he got mad, and he took it away from him. You know, he's like, listen, I've called you to steward what I've given you. And for some of you here, we wait around. We're like, you know, I'm waiting for more talents, and then I'll be used of God. God, give me more talents. God, give me more talents. God, give me more talents. Give me the talents that so-and-so has. Give me the talents that this person has, and I'll do great things for you. And we're neglecting the rod that's in our hand. We're neglecting the talent that God has given to us now. Part of going all in, and the biggest part, is saying, God, I'm going to learn to use what you've given me now. God will never give you more until you use what you have now. Listen to me. God will never give you more until you use what you have now. God, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. I want more of you. I want to do more for you. Use what you've got now, no matter how small you may think it is, no matter how insignificant you may think it is. Skillfully, listen to me, skillfully say, God, I want to use the talent you've given me to advance the kingdom of God and to make a difference. I can't do anything. I can't do anything. Whatever. You've got talent. There's more talent in this room than I could ever dream of right now. There's people sitting on talents that God has given you in the business world, in the homemaking world, in the education world, in serving in this community. There's things. We're only just beginning to touch the tip of the iceberg of what God is wanting to do in this church through the talents that are in this room, but we're not stewarding. Instead, we're sitting on them. God, forgive us for sitting on our talents. Well, it's not important, Pastor Tom. Yes. It's not important because you know why? Because we've let the church dictate that what's important is what the pastor does. Right. Right. That's so true.
And you know what? Whenever the body is created to function as a body, right? We have this physical body that's designed to walk and function and move and, you know, all this cool stuff. And the problem is when one part of the body is lacking, the whole body suffers. The whole body suffers. So whenever one of us that are called to function in a particular capacity, when one of us are not doing what we were called to do, the whole body suffers. You guys know it's true. You've smashed your thumb and the whole body is in pain, right? Right? That's true. And that's the same way with the body of Christ. And the thing about proclaiming the good news is that all of us won't do it in the same way. But all of us together will proclaim the good news and all of us will see the kingdom of God advancing. And so that's why it's important that each one of us function in the role that we've called to do. We don't have to try to do something that we were not called to do. Nobody's asking us to do that. God is not asking us to do that. Pastor Gene is not asking us to do that. We're saying it's time to function as a body and to do the things that we were created to do and be happy that we are able to contribute in that way and not trying to be something that we're not. Because that's where I think many of us have been just like you said, we're thinking, oh man, my giftings, what I am able to do, it's just not really that important. But I'm telling you, what you have been gifted by God to do, what the Holy Spirit has put into your life is important, not just for you, but for the whole body of Christ.
I believe you touched on this in the first service about the difference. Our mindset in the body of Christ is we have three classes in this room. We have voluntary ministry, we have part-time ministry, and we have full-time ministry. Right. Share some of what the Holy Spirit was speaking to you on that.
Yeah, I tell you, the thing is, whenever I'm going to just get up and walk around, I tell you, the praise and worship time was so excited today. I just kind of like wanted to go to the end right then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit has been talking to me that we see is the word ministry a scary word to you guys? Come on, be honest. No, it's not? Well, cool, this is going to be easy. The word ministry has been a scary word to me in years past, because I'm like, ministry, what in the world does that mean? That sounds like a scary word. Well, the thing is, it seems to me in my past, I have thought about ministry in a couple of different ways. One, somebody was in part-time ministry. Have you ever heard that? Somebody said, I'm part-time ministry. And then somebody else would say, well, I'm in full-time ministry. I've heard Pastor Gene say that when I was called to full-time ministry. And here's where my mind used to go. Part-time ministry was somebody that preached or served, usually it's a youth pastor, right? They're part-time ministry. And so they serve part of the time, and then they have a full-time job that they use to pay the bills, right? Is that what you guys think about when you think of a full-time ministry? And then you think of somebody that is in part-time ministry, but then someone that's in full-time ministry, you would think, wow, they do that 40 hours a week. They get all of their pay from that. The church supports them, and all they do all week long is just serve in the ministry. And that's the kind of mentality that I had whenever I would think of somebody that was in part-time ministry, somebody that was in full-time ministry. But I'm here to tell you today that I think as the body of Christ, each and every one of us have been called to full-time ministry, right?
Right.
Full-time ministry. And the thing is, so many of us, the problem is, most of us all we do is serve in part-time ministry at best. And the thing is, whenever we're not functioning as a body, when we don't see our calling in life as a ministry, when we don't see it more than just a gifting or more than just a talent, but this is my full-time ministry as part of the body of Christ, this is what I do, this is what I do to help advance the kingdom of God, then we see the body functioning properly. And I tell you, whenever God told me that, I was like, wow, all I thought was, you know, Pastor Gene, he's a full-time minister. He gets paid. He gets paid to do this. He's a professional. I'm not a professional. But I think that's a misunderstanding of what God is calling us to do. That I really believe that every one of us as believers are called to full-time ministry.
I think the reason why, Tom, I believe the reason why we see this happening is because over the last 100 years, we've seen this shift in the church, you know, the mindset. You know, we've gone from, you know, the Bible says that we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? We're all called to reconcile people to Christ. Before I'm called to be a pastor, I'm called to reconcile people to Christ. Before you're called to be a teacher, you're called to reconcile people to Christ. Before you're called to be a mom, you're called to be to reconcile people to Christ. And so, but what we've done is, Ephesians 4 says that I've given you the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to what? To equip the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. See, but we've gotten that reversed. We think in modern society, we pay professional ministry for people to do ministry, and then we can just come and soak it all up. You know, maybe we volunteer once in a while. And that's not what's happened. He's given us pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets to what? To equip us, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. We're all called to full-time ministry. Are you getting this? We're all called to full-time ministry. What do you mean? I got to work a job. Well, your job is your ministry. Your home is your ministry. Your children are your ministry. The team you coach is your ministry. The group you go to, that's your ministry. The people you have lunch with, that's your ministry. The people, listen, God is calling us to think outside the four walls and see the kingdom of God advance through us operating as full-time ministers. This is when the kingdom of God is going to advance. It's not going to advance because I can draw a big crowd and you guys live out here. Woo, hallelujah. No, it's going to advance when we have people whose lives are being transformed with the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're leaving here transforming other people. That's the only way we're going to make a difference in this region. Yep. Amen? Come on, give God a hand for that one. That's good. I know. I'll give myself an amen for that. That's good.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I want to clap. I got a mic in my hand, so I can't.
How do we do this? How does this relate to life groups? Now, how do we use this to connect to other people and use our giftings in the life groups? How does that fall there?
I think the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is a relational ministry, right? Everything about everything about Christianity, everything about our relationship with God is based on relationship. It's based on us experiencing the goodness of God. And one thing that we do with life groups in particular, and it's not just life groups, it's all the different opportunities that we have for connect groups here at Destiny Church. You know, we have men's and women's ministries. We have things like, think about it. We have things like Clean Team. That is a ministry. It's not a clean team. It's a clean team ministry. Okay, you see what I'm saying? It's taking whatever I have and whatever group I can connect with that have common giftings and callings and putting those together to see the kingdom of God advanced. Now, the cool thing about life groups, which is one opportunity that we offer you, is the ability to see those skills developed, to come into a safe environment where you can just read the Word of God together. You can sit down. How many of you guys need one more friend? How many of you people in here, you've been coming here for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 months, and you're thinking, man, I don't know anybody. I need somebody that I can buddy up with, that I can lock elbows with and walk through life, because life stinks sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And so life groups gives you an opportunity to come together and be a part of the body of Christ. And we do simple things like we'll have a meal together. You know, I find, even as I was looking back over the last couple of weeks, that a lot of times whenever Jesus, he said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. We're going to eat some lunch, dude.
Right.
We're having tacos. He's like, wouldn't that be cool to just be able to say, hey, I'm coming to your house today. We're going to eat. But that's what he did. He said, hey, we're just going to start off and we're just going to eat. And we're just going to do life together, basically, is what that means. And then he had some word that he would teach them, or, you know, they would come out and they would be totally changed. Their life would never be the same again because he started off and said, hey, let's eat. I'm going to come to your house and we're going to eat and we're going to hang out. And before you know it, their life was transformed. And I think that's one thing that Life Groups offers us, is an opportunity to come together with other believers, do something casual like eat, get to know one another, get to love one another, love the body of Christ, love your brothers and sisters, and then begin to function in the giftings that we were called in and be able to support one another and be able to encourage one another, be able to pray over one another in a loving environment where the other people that are there are doing the same thing that you are. They're wanting the same thing you are. They're wanting to be loved. They're wanting to love someone else. And that is what, you know, God said, the world, they're going to know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And you can't love people if you don't hang around with them. You know what I'm saying? I can say I love you, but never see you, never talk to you. I'm just going to say I love you, and that's it. That don't work. I mean, if you're going to love somebody and they're going to know it, you're going to have to show them. You're going to have to hang out with them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right, that's good. You know, we talked about this. You know, we see where Jesus had thousands of followers. But where did he really put his attention to? He put his attention to the 12, didn't he? He drew 12 people around him, begin to pour into their life, and even in those 12, he had three that he even pulled a little step further. You know, and I think this is where discipleship really is. I've had people ask me, what's your 12-step discipleship program? You know, I want to go to discipleship classes, you know. And I think that is, not that there's nothing wrong with classes and education, but, you know, true discipleship is not going to happen in the classroom. I'll just take it. True discipleship will not happen in the classroom. True discipleship happens in doing life together. The disciples did life together. They did life with Jesus. They did ministry with Jesus, and they did life with Jesus. They struggled with Jesus. They saw the pain that Jesus went through. They saw the turmoil that he went through. And he's seen it in them as well. And, you know, this is how we do it. You know, we lead by what? If I want to disciple Pastor Tom, I say, Pastor Tom, come. Just to do life together. Watch me lead. And then over time, I say, all right, now let's lead together. And we lead together. And then eventually, I'll pull back and say, now you lead, and I'll watch. And this is simply how we lead. This is what Jesus did. Jesus pulled them together. They watched him minister. And then he sat back and said, all right, today, you guys are going out. And I'm staying here. You go feed them. You go out and pray for them. You go out and encourage us. Yeah, go, do it. Remember? And then he released them. And then he said, you did such a good job. I'm going to go away and I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. You're going to do even greater things without me. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. That's what he did. He modeled it for them, with them, and then he left and let them in charge and let them go. Now, if you're looking for a pastor who's power hungry and who's got to be in control of everything, you're in the wrong church. Because, baby, I guarantee you there's not a pastor in town who will release you to do ministry quicker than I will. I'm like, do something for God, baby. I'm behind you. What if you fail? Then I'll pick you up and I'll help dust you off and we'll find something else to do. Well, let's just do something for God. Let's do something. Let's quit sitting on our talents and let's put in our hand what God has given and use it to advance the kingdom of God. And how are we going to do this if we're not connected with people? If you're just coming in on Sunday morning, you're not going to have an opportunity to use the talents God's given you. But when I meet with people in the homes, or small groups of people, I hear of needs, and I hear how I can encourage people, and I hear how, hey, so-and-so needs something done. I've got that skill. Well, I know somebody who does, and I'm helping them do this. I'm helping someone encourage them. I've been through this before. I've went through a divorce like this before. I've walked through this before, and I'm helping people out of my pain, out of the skill God's given me, and I'm using what I've got to use and letting God multiply it. That's becoming the body of Christ. And I don't want to just have a church that gathers people. I want to have a church that's making a kingdom impact where people realize it's about us leaving here, these four walls, and we're making a difference in this community.
Yeah, I've heard you say that many times, Pastor. And this is this is something we need to get in our spirit. We need to get in our understanding. And as Pastor Gene uses the word DNA, we need to get this in our DNA. That as we continue to grow bigger, and all the staff will know this, they'll repeat it to you. As we continue to grow bigger, we have to grow smaller. We have to continue to grow smaller. And what that means is there are small groups of people that as this local gathering on Sunday morning happens to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger, The real goal is that we're going to touch lots of lives out there. We're going to see a change in our community, just like we prayed about earlier, that whatever community I reside in, that there's going to be an impact, and I'm going to be part of that impact. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to do it. I'm going to be part of that impact. And as I join together with others and begin to serve in with the strength of the body of Christ, we see those changes happen. We see impact. We see that's the way life is. I mean, if you're going to teach somebody something, you don't want to just give them a book and say, here, read it and go do it. You want to show them how to do it, and then you want to release them with the authority and the power to go do that.
Right. And what better place to practice? I mean, it's intimidating. If I come to you and say, hey, get up here and speak next Sunday, you're going to go, oh! You know what I'm saying? You're going to have Barney Fife sitting with him, you know. Please don't ask me that, Pastor. You know, some of you will be like, no, I'm ready. I know. You're not the person I want to talk to. But the person I'm talking to right now is the person you know I'm talking about. But, you know, when you get in a group with 8-10 people and you're sharing, you know, it's not as intimidating to say, you know what, I just think the Holy Spirit's sharing this in my heart and I want to share it, you know. And that we learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in those groups. We're not intimidated to pray one for another in those groups. We're not intimidated to reach out and help somebody who's struggling in those kind of groups. This is the way Jesus intended for us to do life together. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't be in a group. You're going to have excuses. Things are going to happen. Time's going to come up. I know. Listen, it's going to be there for all of us. You're in different seasons. Every season brings another set of challenges. It's only going to happen because you make it a priority. It's only going to happen because you make it a priority. And so I encourage you, find a connect group to get involved in and connect with the body of Christ and allow God to use those giftings within us. We'll never be happy until we'll never fulfill our purpose until we're walking in our God-given destiny. And that starts where? How do we get there? By using what God has placed in our hand today to use. And I think this is what the Holy Spirit has been speaking today through our conversation in the first service and this service as well. Is that for many of us here, we're holding on to things that we think are irrelevant, not significant, and we think, how can God use this? Instead of saying, God, here it is. I'm ready to use this. Show me where I can use it. Let me use it. I'm telling you, when you make it available, God will bring people into your path where you can use the talent that you got. And then as you use it, God will multiply more. And you'll be like, wow, this is awesome. Let's stop sitting. How many today say, I'll stop sitting in my talent? I'm ready for God to use it. That's what going all in is all about. See, God, I'm ready to use it. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning. As we get ready, you have anything else you want to say? Yeah. Go ahead, one more thing.
Yeah, I tell you, the song that we sang today was so powerful. And I just, even Pastor Joe, when he was singing that song, the first service and second service, I really feel like God is just given us this picture of marriage. You guys have heard the picture so many times. And I was just thinking about when we were singing that song, like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready and anticipating, looking for and longing for the day that you're going to return. And that day is coming. We don't know when. And I'm telling you, there are lots of preparations for a wedding. My wife and I got married almost 30 years ago, And I can still remember my wedding day. I remember the day and all the things that, I mean, I don't remember all the things that happened, but I remember a lot of things that happened. And there was a lot of preparation to get ready for that day, to get ready for that day, that wedding day, when the groom, which was me, when I was going to walk down and we were going to get married. And my bride was doing things to prepare in advance so that when I came, she would be ready. I mean, she made preparations way in advance. And that's where we're at, church. We need to be in a place where we're waiting for the return of our Lord and our King, our groom. And as the bride, we need to be doing things that God has called us to do. We need to be fulfilling the ministry that God has given us to do. Some of us, just like in that earthly wedding, there was this time when she sent out invitations. And some of you guys are evangelists and can proclaim the gospel, and you can invite people to come and tell them about the good news. Hey, Jesus, He's here. He gave His life for you to save you, to set you free. And He wants to use you. He wants to be married to you. There was people that sent out invitations. There were people that made a wedding dress. I mean, she had a beautiful white gown that had to be prepared in advance. And that's what we as the body of Christ are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be getting ready. And the Holy Spirit comes and washes us and cleanses us and gives us the word and And the purpose is so that we would be a bride that is wearing a gown that is perfect and spotless and white and ready and prepared. And there was people that prepared, you know, punch and cake. All those things seem so little. But what if that is your gift? That is what if that's what God has called you to do? What if that's what God has called you to do? And without you, the wedding would not be ready. The bride would not be ready for the return of the groom. And man, I tell you, I am so excited. And I hope you're excited. I hope you're thinking, wow, one day there's going to be a wedding. And the groom is going to return. And he's going to be coming for a bride that is spotless and ready and anticipating his arrival. And that's where us as the body of Christ, we need each other to prepare each other, to sharpen each other, to encourage each other. And that's what I'm just calling you guys to do today as the body of Christ, to stand up and be the body of Christ. To prepare not only this bride, but there's some of the bride out there that hasn't even received the good news yet. And some of you have been called to proclaim that good news and say, Jesus loves you. And so we need you as the body of Christ to stand up and just walk in the calling, walk in the giftings that have been given you for the good of all of us. And so I just challenge you with that today.
Amen. Amen. You received that word today? You got a hand. Amen. Quickly today, I want you just to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you not to move at all possible this morning if you can. Just give me a minute here. I want to ask and make sure if anyone here today, we won't do anything to embarrass you. We won't do anything to point you out, but we want to give you a chance to respond today to what you're hearing, what you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to your life today. If you're here and say, Pastor, I've never fully surrendered my life to Christ. I've never accepted the work of the cross. When Jesus died for me on the cross, I've never accepted his grace into my life. Today, I want to confess him as Lord of my life. I want to accept what Jesus did on the cross. I want to surrender my life to him. I've never done that before. With nobody looking but me, can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your high if that's you today. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? This is the last time I'm going to ask right now. If you're ready to accept Jesus and you haven't done it yet in your life, say, I'm ready to accept what Jesus did on the cross for me. Raise it right now. Thank you. I see that hand there. We're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. Let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender my life to you. I accept your grace. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Give him a hand, yeah. For those of you who raised your hand to accept Jesus today into your life, I invite you to stop by our Welcome Center as you leave. We got a free Bible. Inside that Bible, we got some next step things, some things you need to know about your journey. This is only the beginning. It's not the ending. It's the beginning of a new journey. You need to be plugged into a church home with people who can support you. What's going to happen when you leave here today is Satan's going to attack your mind and tell you what you made the decision today wasn't real. So you need to be here. Stay faithful to the house of the Lord. Get plugged into some of these groups we're talking about so people can encourage you on your new journey. I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, I want to stop sitting on all my talents and I want to learn to surrender completely to God. Anybody here, the Holy Spirit speaking to you today, say, I need to get my talents, quit burying them. Yeah, I need to take what's in my hand and use for God. Yeah. Let's take this song to heart today. Let's say, God, I surrender all. Let's surrender everything we are to him.
Come on, let's lift our hands up. We've just received the word of the Lord, and now is our chance to respond simply by saying, I surrender. So we want you to join us and help us declare this word. Amen. Oh, I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender.
I invite you today, can you raise your hands and say, God, I surrender all of my life to you, all of my talents, everything you placed in my hands. God, forgive us for holding those things back. I pray right now for a release of talents in this room. God, we would steward the things you place in our hands. We would be faithful stewards, God, using the relationships you've given us, using the talents you've placed in our hands. God, may we not hold them back, but God, may we look for ways of using them to advance your kingdom, to show your love, to minister to hurting people. I pray right now, God, that you release in this room, God, an army of people ready to be used of you. God, we surrender to you, and we say together, amen. Come on, if you receive that word today, one more time, you got a hand clap. Two things. If you need one of the flyers showing all the home groups, you can pick those up back here at the Welcome Center if you didn't get one today. Don't forget to stop by and see Pastor Jeremiah to my left. He's got a card for you if you'd like to fill that out, guys. Let us know the skills you have. God bless you. You guys have a great afternoon.